You know, every last Sunday of the month, we do have healing prayers after the message. So we'll do it again after my message today. Now, before we ask for God's healing of our bodies, we need to hear God's word first and what it says about healing. And that's what you're about to hear from me. I'm going to talk about two things. First one is the importance of faith for divine healing. Faith is a must, yet that faith, healing faith, comes from the hearing of God's word. Without God's word, you will not have faith, and when you have no faith, and healing will not take place. That's why I entitled my sermon, God's Word Heals. The second thing I'm going to talk about this morning is the proper attitudes in our requests for healing. When you ask God to heal you, there are three things in your attitude. First one is humility, second one is obedience, and third one is perseverance. Without them, your requests may not be granted or will not happen. Now, all the lessons that I'm going to talk about are found in today's story, the story of Naaman, the general, but also the leper. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to read the text to you one more time, verse by verse, this time with my own commentaries to help you to understand the context better. Now, you can follow along in your bulletin where we print out the entire scripture passage there. By the way, for your information, the story of Naaman took place almost 3,000 years ago. To be exact, between 850 to 830 B.C. in the northern kingdom of Israel. Okay, so I'm going to just read through the 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 14. You can follow along in your bulletin. Now, Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram. Now, captain here is not the rank in American army, such as major or colonel. But a captain in this text means chief or commander. It's the equivalent of modern day the chief of staff of the army. That means four-star general. Very high ranking in the army. Of course, the king of Aram, Aram is the kingdom at the time. It's a modern day Syria. If you ever wondered why there are so many years conflicts between Syria and Israel, between Israel and Gaza. Gaza is good old days of Philistines where the Goliath came from. They've been fighting centuries. Anyway, in those days, we'll continue. Naaman was a great man with his master and highly respected because by him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. Here, the word respect, literal meaning is, his face was lifted. He was praised and he was exalted by the king before all people. Why? There's a reason. Because the man was also a valiant warrior. He was a victorious general. He won battle after battle. But the problem is that he was a leper. Leprosy you never, just show to everybody else. You just hide to yourself and not, proud of it. But he was a leper. Verse 2. Now the Arameans have gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Samaria is the capital city of the northern kingdom Israel at the time. And then the girl continues, he would cure him, the prophet would cure him of his leprosy. Verse 4, Naaman went in and told his master, his king, saying, thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel. And then the king of Aram said, go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. So far, so good. So Naaman departed and took with him 10 talents of silver. Talent is a weight. So how much is that? 10 talents, meaning 755 pounds in modern day weight. A lot. And 6,000 shekels of gold, it's about 151 pounds. And 10 changes of clothes. It's not just ordinary clothes, t-shirts or, you know, pants like that. No, it was garments or raiment or even robes. Very expensive items. You know, I calculated all these 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes in total today's value, 2018 dollars. It comes close to $2 million. Naaman was ready to give this $2 million worth of present to the person who cures him. In order to carry this, you know, almost 900 pounds of weight, you need at least 9 or 10 mules or horses or donkeys. The scripture is not clear on that, but you could imagine the caravan of 10 mules and chariots and whatnot for a 100-mile trip from Damascus to Samaria. Verse 6, Naaman brought the letter to the king of Israel saying, the letter saying, and now, as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you, the king of Israel, may cure him, my general, of his leprosy. Now, before we get to 7, verse 7, I want you to know something's lost in translation. The word, you may. What's the big deal? Someone write, you may cure him. But in actual Hebrew meaning is that you shall cure him. You know the Ten Commandments, it has 10 shalls, and shan't, shall not shall. You know that? You shall honor your parents. You shall not kill. That shall. It's a command. And that language, the king of Aram using toward the king of Israel. That's why in verse 7, the king of Israel read the letter and he tore his clothes. Now, the practice back then, tearing your own clothes to express your extreme frustration or anger. Ordinary times you don't tear your clothes, but back then they did it, especially when they're so upset. The king of Israel said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man, meaning the Syrian king, sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? By the way, am I God means that he says, I'm not God, am I? That's the original Hebrew meaning. Because he was ordered by the king of Syria to fix this man. That's why he's saying. And now, the king of Israel says, now consider now, and see how he's seeking a quarrel against me. Back then, it was a common practice among the kingdoms against each other. If you don't like your neighbor kingdom, you ask them to do something, you can't do it, and then because you haven't done it, let's fight. That kind of thing going on. The king of Israel here took it rather personally, but he was forgetting that there was God who can cure leprosy in the kingdom of Israel. Verse 8, it happened when Elisha, the man of God, by the way, the name Elisha means God saves. He heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? It was totally unnecessary. Now let him come to me. Now, in his words, do you see the confidence overflowing? The confidence that God can cure leprosy. And he shall, Naaman will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 9. So, Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you will be clean. Verse 11, but Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Now pay attention. Why this guy was so... All these guys have an anger problem, right? Why Naaman was so furious? Let me tell you why. Because Naaman obviously expected a healing, the healing he was looking for in certain ways. First, prophet himself should come out. Second, he should properly greet me. Third, he should stand before me. And fourth, he should call on God's name. And number five, wave his hand over me and so forth. He had obviously his own ways of healing. By the way, you know, scripture is so wonderful. Naaman didn't say, touch my place or lay his hand over my place. He didn't say it. What did he say? Wave his hand over the place. Meaning that he knew no one would touch him. No one would dare to touch the leper. So that's what he was saying. Verse 12. Anat, Naaman continues, Anat, Abana, and Pharfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? Oh, you could see. Naaman venting out his anger, saying that, hey, this guy, Elisha, didn't even show up. I'm offended. I'm the second in command. I'm offended big time. Plus, the Jordan River, I know how muddy and shallow that is. How many of you actually been to Israel? Some of you? Have you seen the Jordan River? I've seen, not in person, but I saw the picture. Jordan River, depending on where you go, it's not the river you are thinking of. Jordan River could be a brook or a stream. Very shallow and muddy too. So Naaman knew it. Jordan River, give me a break. The river is back in town. Far better. They're far cleaner and deeper than all the waters of Israel to bathe in. Naaman continues, I refuse to do it in the Jordan River. Forget it. I am going home. So, verse 12 continues, he turned and went away in a rage. Oh, by the way, my sermon is not about anger management, but you know, whenever you see someone has anger issue, consider this. Whenever a person gets angry, the bottom line, all the common factor is that conviction of the person was violated. This thing shouldn't be, and this is happening, so that's why I'm angry. Or this should happen, and it's not happening, therefore I'm angry. You see? So that's what Naaman was going through. He went away in a rage. Verse 13, then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then? What's the big deal when he says to you, wash and be clean? Verse 14, so Naaman went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. Please note here, the rivers don't matter. Which river don't matter? The water quality wasn't either. The healing took place when, and only when, Naaman obeyed the word of God that's spoken by the man of God, according to the word of God. And it concludes, the story concludes, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Very interesting story. From which I'm going to draw four key lessons for healing. Whenever we ask God to heal us physically. Number one, it is God's word that heals you. Not the waters, not the medium, not even the prophet. It is the word of God which we rely on. We cling on to it, and that's what heals us. You know, you and I confess that nothing is impossible with God. We all do that. God can do all things. The Almighty God does, you know, all these signs and wonders and miracles and healing. And healing is just a small part of His power. We know that. However, before we ask God to heal us, we must know the basis of healing on which we're going to stand and claim and make our own requests. You know, the way I see it, healing and God's word is like this. I'm sure a lot of you write still checks. After you write checks, at the bottom, you must conclude it, finish it with what? Your signature. Without that signature, no matter how much you say, payable to Pastor Cho $1 million, that's great. I took your check to the bank, there's no signature. It's no good. Your signature completes the check. Same way, God's word completes God's healing. Now, I told you that at the very beginning, we must have faith in healing, right? Indeed, faith matters. Jesus, too, said many a time to those who came to Him for healing. This is what He would say. Your faith has healed you. Your faith made you whole. Not your feelings, not even the knowledge. Oh, Lord, I read 20 times of the Bible. They don't help, but faith does. The faith in Jesus, the healer, and yet, listen, such healing faith only comes from God's word. Listen to Romans chapter 10. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You see the connection? Faith doesn't come when you don't hear the word of God, and the hearing based on the word of God. Let me repeat. According to your faith, God heals you. But that healing faith comes from hearing the word of God. Therefore, believe in and claim the promise of healing in His Word. And I'm going to give you one piece of verse, key verse for healing. That's printed in your bulletin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Whenever you ask for God's healing, stand on this verse and claim it whenever you ask for His healing. Which the verse 24 says, He, meaning Christ, Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. By the way, the Greek word for healing here is referring to the physical healing. Physical healing. By the wounds that Christ had received, afflictions He had received on His body, because of that, you and I are healed. By His wounds, you are physically healed. That's the key verse for you to remember. The rest of them I'm going to spend time on attitudes, proper attitudes. I told you before, first one is humility. Be humble before God when you ask for God's healing. After all, you're asking for God's favor, isn't it? James 4:6 says this, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Don't we ask God's grace on us? Remember Naaman? How arrogant he was, the second in command in the kingdom of Syria. Had he continued in his pride, let me tell you, he would have died as a leper. But when he humbled himself, he got cured. By the way, humility also means teachability. Did you notice that Naaman listened to his wise counsels, his servants? Yes, humility matters. The next attitude is obedience. It's attitude, obey. Humility and obedience go together, and so do pride and disobedience, folks. When you come to the Lord for healing, do not insist your own ways. Remember Naaman? Just submit to God's will and His ways, whatever they may be. Just obey and you'll be healed. That's what Naaman did. Going to the Jordan. No matter how you think it's dirty and, you know, whatever. Do it. And when he did it, the end result was happy ending. The last attitude I would call perseverance. Persevere in your prayers. Do not give up after one or two prayers. Keep on praying at least 7 times until healing takes place. 7 times. Have you noticed that some healings, you know, take place instantly? But there are many other healings are progressive. Therefore, stay plugged in prayer. Remember, Naaman, once again, his skin remained leprous until the 7th dipping. First time, nothing happened. Second time, third time, sixth time, nothing happened. 7th time, he was healed. So what I'm going to do is that I invite anyone who'd like to be prayed for healing by your pastor and come forward and kneel around the altar, and I'm going to just apply this oil on your forehead and say this word or two and pray for you.